The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep, losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of our Lord. Please be seated, as at this time, I believe we have the children who will head up.
So Renata is headed out to the pink chair. She's got a lovely story by Oliver Jeffers called Lost and Found, and a scripture story that goes with it about how God loves lost things and lost people and loves to gather them together. So if you want to head out there for that, that's great. Have a good time. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Probably not the best thing to stick in your children's health forms and school assignment sign things with my sermon and with all my notes. So kind of got mixed up with it all. It's what that time of year. So good morning, and thank you very much, Pastor Laura, and to this congregation for welcoming me and making me feel so welcome every time I do come here. Like Laura said, I'm Margaret Propp, the campus chaplain at the University of Calgary. Although that position is part-time, it's a 0.4, which means 2 days a week. Ideally, we would love to have it as a full-time, but that is my role there at the moment. And so my other hat I wear is that I do work for the Bethany Care Society as the housing chaplain, which means I also run around to about 7 different sites throughout the city doing Bible studies and hymn sings and things like that. So kind of 2 spectrums of people's lives, but people nonetheless, and a gift to be able to journey with them. And so we have today our text of a very famous and powerful parable of the lost. As I read this text, one of the things that came to me, especially this time of year with all the children around, is a time in Saskatoon when my little one was probably not even 3 years old or so. For those of you who may know Saskatoon, there's a mall called the 8th Street Mall. There was a Zellers there, a Walmart on the other end. And we were shopping one day, my son and I, and I just turned around for just a moment. And suddenly, he was gone. And at first I thought, oh, he's around here somewhere, just kind of look around. Josh, Josh. Josh, it's not funny, come on. Mom's ready to go. And then suddenly, I get a little more nervous. Josh! I crouch down even to see if I can see his little feet underneath the clothes hangers. At that time, they had those round clothes hangers. See if he's in there. Nope. I looked around, up and down, all the aisles. No Josh. Eventually, I even went to customer service and told them that he was lost. As I hung my head down with some shame, I admitted that I had lost my son and he was wearing a rainbow shirt. And so the intercom comes up. If anyone sees a young boy, 3 years old, with a rainbow shirt, please bring him to customer service. Nothing. I was really panicking. So much so that I ran across the long mall to the other end of Walmart to see if maybe he had ended up over there. Went to customer service, no avail. Eventually, as I made my way back to Zeller's, I see Josh with the customer service rep. And of course, my heart is filled with joy and excitement and relief, of course. But soon afterwards, I have this pang of anger. Anger and how dare he? How dare he scare me? How dare he put this panic into me? Well, I found out that Josh was at Zeller's the whole time in one of those clothes racks and in fact lifted his feet up so that Mom couldn't see him hiding. To him, it was fun, but to me, it seemed like a nightmare. The story comes to mind because we hear about a God who searches. Who searches for the one who is lost, who searches without giving up. And in fact, the searching comes to us in three stories. This section is a part of a three-part: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then next week, the lost son. The stakes are not so high at first. The lost sheep, one out of 100, that's 1%. Sure, celebrate. One out of 10 coins, 10%. Yeah, probably worth celebrating. One out of 2 sons, 50%. Pretty high stakes. And yet, with each one, when each item, person is found, what does God do but celebrate? Rejoices. The very thing that I wish I could have done when I see Josh. But instead, those other feelings come up. But here we are told of a God who loves, embraces, celebrates, not only by God's self, but invites all around to come and join. That feeling I had of anger and disappointment and I don't know what else it was, I don't think is unique. I read a story of a Jewish proverb about a farmer who runs into some good fortune. God offers him 3 wishes, but with each wish, God says that whatever you wish, I will grant you. But I will also then grant your neighbor double. And so he wishes for land, and God grants him land. And so he's excited and happy, but then, of course, his neighbor receives double the land. The farmer, a bit taken back, then decides, well, I want to get some money. And so he wishes for money, and of course, God grants him this money, but then his neighbor gets double. Now, this farmer, filled with those very same feelings, perhaps, of anger and jealousy, unfairness, makes his final wish. And God says, what is your final wish? And he says, make me blind in one eye. And so his neighbor becomes fully blind. Now, I hope that that's not the case for us, but I think it gives us a glimpse of sometimes what happens when we see others receive so generously. And even when we are being filled and cared for and graciously provided for, when we see others get more, it's hard not to somehow be jealous, be envious, wonder why? Why not me? Why don't I get to make more money? Why don't I get to have the bigger house? Why don't I get that better job? Why don't I make the better marks? Well, this world of competition is very much the atmosphere of university life. Students are competing. The spaces to get in are very few. The marks to even get into university boggles my mind, thinking, thank goodness I went when I did and not now, because I'm not too sure if I get in now. The competition is steep. And not only to just get in, but once you get in, to survive, to make it in those margins, to get those rare spots of nursing, teaching, engineering. Students have to compete. They have to do better than those around them because their place is dependent on that. And so in that atmosphere, it's no surprise that students are stressed. In fact, when they did a survey of wellness this past year, they found that most students experienced stress, of course, but stress to a point where they felt as though they could not function. And one of the biggest stresses, to my surprise, was not about the marks, but it was loneliness. It was isolation. We, as a church, have a solution to that. We, as a church, have a place to point, one to point to, where we are not alone. As people of faith, we believe in a God that searches us out, searches out all of humanity until we are found. Campus ministry at Calgary is that place where we get to point towards this gracious and loving God who provides abundantly. And I'm not talking about provides abundantly with monies or grades, but provides abundantly with love and acceptance and grace. Because we, as God's people, experience that. Some of you may have had access to the program guide that we have at the university. It's this green thing. There's not enough for all of you because it costs actually quite a bit to print these things, and so I only have a few printed. But hopefully you can share them along your pews and you get a glimpse of some of the things that happen on campus. One of our big main events, programs we do is the Drum, Dine, and Discuss. I work very closely with the United Presbyterian Chaplaincy, and they have a very strong drumming program. They do the djembe drums. It calls in a lot of people. And afterwards, we offer a meal called the dine, a simple meal of a soup or stew with bread. I even bought a bread machine to plug in at the center because there is no kitchen. And we have bread baking all day, and so allows the smells to waft through the center and hopefully lure some people in. It's very simple. A bowl of soup, a piece of bread. Sometimes if we're lucky, maybe I'll get some brownies or cookies. But this gathering of students, after we eat, we have a discussion circle, a talking circle, where we just go around, simply have a word and allow students to just speak on that word. I believe that this intimate gathering gives students a glimpse of what we do weekly. How we gather as a community around a meal, around the word, and how we are fed. Now, what we do on campus is clearly not what we do here, but I think it gives them a glimpse, a small sliver of what it means to be fed by God. And with that, it's surprising. Students are curious. They love it. In fact, some of them say, I've actually changed my schedule so I can make sure I can come to Drum, Dine, and Discuss every Wednesday evening, which is, to me, very powerful. With that glimpse, we've had many students who have never been a part of the Christian faith want to try it out. And you'll see one of the other things we do here is the contemplative worship once a month. We meet, although it does say the first Sunday of the month, we've changed that now to the second Sunday of every month. But meeting once a month to worship and again have a meal and to have Holy Communion. For many, that's their first time ever experiencing a Christian worship service. And in fact, the fundraiser I do every year in March, April, May, somewhere around there, I invite any of the students who come. And for many, that is the first time worshiping with a whole bunch of other Christians that are not even students. They tell me how powerful it is, that I didn't know that that's what the church was about. We have this amazing gift to share. And so let us, as God calls us to rejoice in what is found, let us come and rejoice. Thanks be to God. Amen.